This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, the Scholar Report, with CEO Chris Riegel of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage on all occupied continents. And the continent at issue is Asia. Right now, watching China. The summary is, at the end of 22, a year ago, the emergence from the total lockdown in China was to lead to a burst of energy and a recovery of the great machine of miracles that we'd experienced these last decades. The short version is, it didn't happen. In truth, what we now hear is that the property sector, where the middle class has put its life savings, its future, the property sector, so far from a bubble, is a crater. And the remedy from the central government is not our business. You take care of it. The municipalities around the country borrowed a great deal of money against land and built on that land, expecting people to show up. We build it, they will come. Well, they did come for three cities, or maybe four, but not for all the rest, who are now hobbled by an enormous amount of debt, so they can't help the middle class. The middle class has put its savings in apartments. I'm told by my colleague Gordon Chang, there are enough empty apartment spaces in China for 1 billion people. In other words, beyond ghost cities are ghost residents. That's how bad the property sector is. And the remedy, I'm told by Ann Stevenson Yang from Beijing, the remedy is we'll get out of this with manufacturing. Chris, a very good evening to you. Manufacturing, that brings down the little bird in my studio and says, turn to Chris Riegel. Now, I understand manufacturing in Q1 was call people up and tell them, we're going to charge a lot more money, so you better get in now. That didn't work. Q2, call people up and say, we've got some empty space on our production line, and we can give you a markdown, maybe 5%. How much business have you got for us? They also added, you'll have to pay us up front. Q3 was, we've got a lot of space, and we can help you out, so how about giving us some of your business? And now Q4 can be described by the word panic. Now, that describes generally Chinese manufacturing, but I'm going to concentrate on what you participate in, which is B2B and the miracle of digital, using chips, using factories in and around Shanghai and below Shanghai. Does that generality about manufacturing apply to the high-end stuff, the stuff that people pay a lot of money for? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It absolutely does. There is a increasing amount of panic within that Chinese supply chain as the Western economies slowing now are having big ripple effects through the Chinese factories. So the frequency and the attentive pressure coming from those manufacturers saying, hey, we really need business. We're really starting to have to lay people off or have production lines go down. The slowness is now extremely palpable, and I think that can be directly tied back to American and European consumers that are slowing, and that's now translated to the factory floor in China directly, and the level of panic that's setting in is quite interesting to observe.
So the Chinese Communist Party can see that their model of manufacturing will get us out of this. We'll go back to the way it was in the good old days. We manufacture and sell, and they give us their money. That is not happening. Is that the generality here?
John, I think that you're starting to see the impact of 30% interest rates on credit cards for the consumers. Globally, the consumers are starting to tap out and slowing thereby of all products. That's now translating to China. You can mandate in China that we'll get out of this with a manufacturing boom, but if there's no consumer to power that boom, it's all just words.
Bloomberg reporting, China bans exports of some rare earth processing technology. Look further, John. Move throws up a new hurdle in race to boost Western supplies. Subhead, China has mastered rare earths refining over the past 30 years. This looks like a trade war. This is about chips. As I recall, China wants to manufacture chips with the quality of TSMC and other manufacturers of high-end in the West. It has not achieved that yet. Banning rare earths, this drives up costs. Does it also choke off the production of chips? And is this meant to be punitive? Can you tell?
John, yeah, definitely meant to be punitive. So the Chinese administration and the American administration have been in this increasing chip war really over the last 3 years. It started under President Trump. It's continued in the Biden administration. So the sides continue to ratchet up the pressure bidirectionally. The challenge there is that China saying we're going to restrict these materials or we're going to up the chip war does not drive Mr. Cook at Apple or other tech leaders in the U.S. to say, hey, let's invest more money in China. So the secondary effect of continuing and growing that chip war is driving more investment outside of China to Vietnam, to Malaysia, Indonesia, to the United States, Mexico. Companies are now starting to vote with their dollars and saying, I'm not going to invest more in China if this is continued kind of treatment that we're getting in China. So it's having the exact opposite impact as desired.
So the nearshoring, the friendshoring, the supply chain move to India, that is happening. That is not just perspective.
That is absolutely happening. And if you look at the amount of direct foreign investment in China, it's cratering. You've seen Secretary Raimondo and others talk about trying to reestablish that communication and cooperation. But the business community is saying China is no longer the best place in the world to do business for a whole series of factors. And capital is following that opportunity to other markets.
Bloomberg reports the U.S. is spearheading a drive to reduce China's stranglehold over flows of materials from rare earths to lithium and cobalt. President Joe Biden's flagship climate legislation includes rules aimed at generating more supply domestically or from allied nations. China has responded with restrictions on the export of gallium, germanium, and graphite. So the war is underway. The Biden administration looks to be doing the right thing. Is that your measure? They're playing tough.
Very much so. Secretary Raimondo has been kind of a rock star in this area of speaking truth to power, being very upfront about the threat and the risk. And the Biden administration is being very much on point in understanding in this area that we cannot let the most advanced technologies make it into China. If the Chinese seek this type of a chip war, it generally ends badly for them as U.S. manufacturing goes elsewhere.
In your lengthy experience with dealing with Chinese manufacturing going back to the beginning of this century and into the 20th century, is this the worst Christmas they've ever experienced in their rise?
I think it's very safe to say the Chinese do not understand this type of a market correction, this type of recession. They've seen nothing but meteoric growth in the last 20, 30 years. Now you're seeing an economic cycle that they're not used to. So they don't really understand what's going on. The propaganda within China in terms of having to have an external enemy or reason to blame this on, Chinese are smarter than that. They understand this is a self-created problem. That being said, if you have 50% of the population that's out of work, that's a recipe for trouble.
The EU, the ECB has said, we're going to stand pat, no more rate hikes. The Federal Reserve in the U.S. may have said that. There's some debate day to day whether they meant to say that. Are you seeing any change in the investment by major companies into the future? Are they loosening their cash drawer and spending on capital building yet?
John, large capital projects generally have paused in many of the companies that we serve and interact with. I think everyone is very curious to see how the Christmas season goes in retail and the attitude of the consumer, and then make those decisions in Q1 of next year. With next year being a presidential election year, things historically tend to be tumultuous. And at the business side, they'll wait to see the direction before they call the shot. But at the moment, capital spending is absolutely slowing.
I saw circulars this morning in the mail for 60% off. Get in now. That looks to be the way this Christmas is going to be handled by the retailers. They're moving inventory. Is that a good thing, Chris?
it's a good thing, but if the consumer is tapped, if the consumer's facing interest rates that we've not seen since the 1970s on their credit cards, the retailers and the brands can create lots and lots of incentives. But if the consumer is broke, it may not matter.
And for hiring, there was that story that it was very difficult to hire good people and you were going to hold on to them because it was tough to get them in the first place. Is that still happening?
The pendulum of power has moved very much back towards the employer. At the peak of the pandemic, we could not hire anyone for any job. You just could not get qualified people. Now you do a job posting, you might have 1,000 qualified applicants. The work from home challenge is now companies start to say, no, we're not going to allow work from home. And the companies have the power again in that equation. So you're starting to see more back to work and more power on the employer side and bringing balance to the force.
Chris Riegel, CEO of Scholar.com. A global technology firm transforming the retail space here at Christmas and into the Q1 of 2024. I'm John Batten.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.